nice to be with you. I've enjoyed coming out to speak to you. This crazy time that our world is in, and even in our area. So I drive this morning from an area where there's a lot of COVID going on to an area where you guys have been able to bend the curve. Isn't that the phrase? So well done. I commend you. I just want to alert you to a resource. I don't know if any of you would like to give an encouraging Christmas gift to someone who's maybe going through a tough time. So this is a refreshed devotional for 31 days. And I wrote this a few years ago, and I'll just read a little bit about it. Refreshes for people whose souls have been parched by the stresses and tests of life. Stress is a reality of life. It can harm and drain us of vital energy, and it must be responded to wisely. This devotional book is written to help you encounter Jesus, the great refresher of the soul. It's available online through refreshministries.org. And this particular copy, I wrote someone's name in it, and it says Stan. I would like to give this to you, if you would mind passing it to you from sanitized hands. May God bless and refresh you. I appreciate your leadership, and it's not easy leading a church, and so may God bless you in that. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read a story that took place after the birth of Christ, and it gives us insight that I think will encourage you and help you encounter God and be part of what he is doing. So Luke chapter 2, verses 20, we'll start actually in verse 22 to give context and read on down to verse 40. So it's a bit of a long passage, but I would like to give you the big story here altogether. It says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was in Jerusalem a man called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what his custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew, became strong, and was filled with wisdom and grace. The grace of God was on him. Heavenly Father, now by your Spirit, lead these next moments. Guide me in what I say and open our hearts to receive from you, I pray. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. Do you ever have the desire to be part of God's activity? What he's doing around you, in your community and in your world. How many of you have a desire for that? Well, I shouldn't do that. That's kind of a guilt. It's kind of like, I don't want to guilt you, but do you have that desire? Now, let me ask you, are there some of you here who's saying, why does that happen to other people, but not to me? In other words, you're going along and you feel like you're kind of a spectator outside looking in as to what God is doing in the world. Well, I think a lot of people feel like that at times. And we sometimes wonder, why doesn't God do something dramatic for me? Why doesn't God do something that would make me realize how real he is? You know, the stars, or the central character of the Christmas story, had powerful encounters with the divine world. Zechariah was offering a sacrifice, and Gabriel came from heaven and spoke to him right there. And Joseph and Mary had these dreams and encounters with the angels. And the shepherds, man, they had a whole choir show up and lead them to go to worship the Christ child, and so on. We have the wise men having this star that guides them all across the Middle East to come right to the manger. And then they have dreams and so on. So all these people are having these powerful encounters with the divine. Have you ever wondered, why can't I have a little bit of that? I don't know. Maybe, probably not. But sometimes I've wondered. I want to talk to you about how you can participate with what God is doing in the world. Position yourself to do that. In this story of these folks here, these really old saints, we learn a couple of principles that can help us be prepared to join in with what God is doing in our world, whether it be in Fairview, whether it be in wider environs. And so I want to share those with you. The setting, of course, is Joseph and Mary are fulfilling the requirements of the law. There was really three requirements after a birth of a boy. One was to have the circumcision happen at about the eighth day. And then there was, two, the purification of the mother and the dedication of the firstborn son. That's what they're doing here. This is about 40 days after. And so we have this context where they're doing what is righteous, what is fulfilled by the law, and into this situation come two people who we've never heard about before and we never hear about again. And actually, they're quite people that have had just everyday stuff happen to them throughout their life. But yet God invites them in to participate and enjoy what he is doing. So what was it about these folks? Well, first of all, we see Simeon, and what his trick was, is not trick, but he responded to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Very simple. A no-brainer, really. Simeon had been yearning to see the Messiah, but also at the same time, he's coming toward the end of his life, and he's... Have you ever talked to someone who says, you know, I'm ready to go? Simeon is kind of ready to go. But he has this desire to see the Messiah. And so he's kind of in this state. I want to see the Messiah, but I'm ready to go. And the Lord had promised him that he would see the Messiah. And you see it in his words there. After he meets the Christ child, he says, Lord, you can dismiss me now. I'm ready to go. I'm really ready to go now. But what was it that brought Simeon into this situation where the Christ child is being brought in through this purification and this dedication ceremony just at the right time? Well, it goes to the Holy Spirit. We learn some things about the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit, first of all, may alert you regarding the activity of God. The Holy Spirit let Simeon know that the most anticipated event in the history of the Jewish nation was going to happen, and he would see it. He would meet that child. Somehow the Holy Spirit had communicated this to him, had given him a promise. And so he's led by the Spirit right to that moment. I just want to say this. We learn this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can alert us to what God is planning to do in this world. And when he's on the move. The Bible teaches that every person who has believed in Jesus Christ the Savior, I trust you have this morning, but the Holy Spirit is placed in you. By the way, it's interesting, the word here, Simeon, had the Holy Spirit on him, not in him. That changed after the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes into us. But the Holy Spirit is well able to alert you to when God is on the move. I have a pastor friend who a couple of years ago, turns out the Lord had him in mind for him to plant a church. But he was telling me how he got ready for that. And that was people from his congregation, even though things seemed to be going very well, he's pastoring a large church and it seemed to be going very well, but people from his congregation kept coming up to him and saying, we think the Lord's doing something big, going to move you to something else. I don't know what that would do to a pastor to hear that kind of stuff. Maybe he would be suspicious, but these were people who had his best in mind. And one of them was an oil field worker, worked out on the rigs as far as I know, but kept coming to him saying, I think big changes are coming for you. It was like the Holy Spirit alerted him. Where's Josh? Josh, Elder Josh. You know where Tofield is. Well, I had a friend. I became a Christian between grade 11 and 12. So I had a really good friend who actually went to that Mennonite church there in, out in the country by Tofield. And I had done everything to dissuade this friend from not following the Lord previous to my own conversion. And so when I became a believer, I started trying to tell him, you know, encourage him, prayed for him. I had a burden for him. I prayed for him every day. And he told me, I would be a Christian if it wasn't for you. How have you ever had anybody tell you that? But I had done too much to dissuade him out of it. But I, after I became a believer, I started praying for him every day, had this burden to pray for him. And we came, so that started in September, and we came to the Christmas season, and we weren't going to see each other for a few days or a couple weeks. But I was praying for him. And about halfway through the Christmas season, this was before cell phones, so you know how old I am. But it was before cell phones. They never had any contact. But about halfway through the Christmas season, I suddenly had this burden lift. And I knew immediately that he had become a believer without anybody telling me. And so when I saw him back at school, when the school started up again, he was, I got this big news for you. And I already knew what it was. That's why I tried to act excited. You know, I was excited, but what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit can help you get right in on the activity of God. Have you ever had that experience? You want to be in on the activity of God. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit. So he can alert us to what's doing, but he can lead you to the very place where he's at work. So it says there, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Simeon was alerted by the Spirit that this was the day the Savior was coming to the temple. So he went and he started looking and seeing Mary and Joseph, was alerted. This is the child. And he went and took the child in his arms. What a moment. Spent so long anticipating the Savior coming. And there he is holding him in his arms. The Holy Spirit could move us exactly where the activity of God is. We see that in Acts 8, verse 29, where the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So that's when he led the Ethiopian eunuch to faith. Peter, in Acts chapter 10, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simeon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I've sent them to you. Peter, there's Gentiles coming. Get ready and go with them. The Holy Spirit's leading them directly into the place where God is at work. Then we see Paul in Philippi. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been kept by the Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, the Holy Spirit's keeping them from going to the place where God isn't active, maybe so active right now. You go over here. You want to be part of God's work? The Holy Spirit can take you right into the middle of it. Happily, I've found the best ministry opportunities have often come as I've responded to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Especially when God's at work in somebody's life or needs help, I'll often have their name come to my mind two or three times over a period of two or three days. And I'm like, oh, I should give him a call. And so often it works out. So also, the Holy Spirit may give us something to say. Simeon, taking the baby Jesus in his arm, bursts into this beautiful prophecy. And he talks about how the Christ child has come to be the Savior of the world. And Joseph and Mary are kind of stunned, I'm sure. Who is this guy? We've never met him before. He's never met the baby before. He wasn't there when the angels came and talked to us. How does he know? How does he know? Well, the Holy Spirit gave him something to say. Now, I do respect people who want to be a silent witness for Christ, because there are times to just live our life and not say anything. I found that one job I had, when I first came on the job site, a lot of people knew as a Christian, so they asked me about my faith, and it all went silent. And they think they were just watching. They were just watching. And there was no opportunity for me to speak about it. But then when it came to near the end of my time, they knew I was going to be moving on. All of a sudden, all the questions came again. They'd been watching. But the Holy Spirit gives us something to say. And I want to challenge some of you who may be thinking, I'm going to be a witness, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. The Holy Spirit gives you something to say. By the way, I'll just give some illustrations of that. Acts chapter 2, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to in other tongues as the Spirit enabled him. Then Peter stands up and he gives the voice to this. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he had something to say. Acts 4:31. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Filled with the Holy Spirit, something to say. Acts chapter 9, Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. He starts really rebuking the people. He says, or to this guy, you are a child of the devil. That's something to say. How would you like to say that to someone? Acts chapter 5, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then the next word, speak. The Holy Spirit gives us something to say. I've heard a lot of testimonies through the years. But there's really not a lot of them I remember, except for one. And I'd been invited to speak at a conference one day or one weekend, and they were having people share their testimony. And one guy got up, and he started talking. His presentation skills were very poor. And he started talking, and he started basically with his birth. And he was quite old. He was probably well into his 70s, I think. And I soon realized that he was going to talk about his whole life. So I'm thinking, why did they give this guy all this time? And he talked, and he talked, and he talked. But the Holy Spirit had something for him to say. And of all the testimonies I've heard, I remember that one. Because he talked about the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. But he was a man filled with the Spirit. Let me ask you, are you a person that likes to keep everything to yourself? If you want to get in with what God is doing, be open to saying what the Spirit puts on your heart to say. Well, we move into the place of God where God is working by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. That was Simeon's story. Secondly, I want to say we have this story of Anna, this lady who had suffered lots, who had lost her husband. And just at the right time, she comes right in there while they're dedicating Christ. She hears what Simeon is saying. By the way, Simeon was not a priest or a scribe. He was an everyday guy. Everyday guy. And God led him. And Anna comes in. And she had suffered a great sorrow. Her husband had died when they'd only been married a few years. And before they had been married 8 years, he was gone. And the loss of the husband, of course, for a woman in that time was a loss of pretty much security and finance and everything. There was just so much that went. And she had this thing happen that shouldn't happen. Husbands and wives should live together well. They should raise children. They should have a good life together. And the security that all that came, especially to a woman at that time. All that should have happened. All her expectations, though, were lost the day her husband passed away. And it was a horrible story of sorrow. But Anna did something that positioned her to be involved in the activity of God, and that was she turned her sorrow into seeking. Do you want to be in the activity of God? Turn your sorrow into seeking. As life moves on, our sorrows can tend to pile up layer upon layer, and grief can weigh us down with a heavy spirit. Sorrows do another thing, though, by the way. I find that when I deal with a lot of people who have grief, not always because of the death of someone, but because of lost expectations. That's a major reason why pastors burn out. And so we're dealing with grief a lot. And you know what grief does? Grief blinds you to the activity of God. Grief blinds you to the activity of God. And she had turned her grief into seeking. And so God blessed her for that, and so she is moved just at the right time. As this prophecy is being given, she's led right there by the Spirit, and she hears this. It's a reward for turning her sorrow into seeking. Moved right into the activity of God. So she had given herself to prayer. She had given herself to fasting. By the way, I find it interesting. I've done a lot of reading on people who've affected history for Christ. Fasting is always a big part of their life. We don't talk about fasting too much anymore. I don't know. A pastor told me just this week that they, as a church, had a 3-day fasting and prayer time just so they knew how to respond to this whole COVID thing. Really good idea. But she turned her sorrow into seeking, giving herself to a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. And instead of the blindness of sorrow coming over her, she was able to perceive and to be led to the place where God was active. Let me ask you, what have you done with your sorrows? We can do a lot of things with our sorrows. We can become bitter. We can be very self-focused, or we can turn them into seeking. You see, God invites us to be part of what He is doing when we are led by their Spirit and when He turn our sorrows into seeking. One of my first ministry experiences, so I was attending PRBI. I was so happy to hear that the students could come out and spend time with your youth. But I was leading a summer team. We went to England. And we were teamed with a lady. Her name was Dorothy. We called her Dottie. Dottie was about 80 years old. And Dottie, I remember from her, she loved to wear bling. Any of you young people love to wear bling? But anyway, she had the bracelets, she had the necklaces, she had the bright, colorful, beautiful clothes, and she had her hair done just so. But she was full of energy and 80 years old. So we were a team of young college kids, and we were paired with this lady, 80 years old. And she would be very free to speak her mind. There was one day we had a meeting at a place where John Wesley preached. I don't know if you know John Wesley, but he led the revival in England years ago. Amazing, amazing story. And I was just thrilled. I got to preach where John Wesley preached. And mostly it was a bunch of elderly ladies from a Methodist church nearby. And Dottie came to me after, and she said, that was a nice sermon, but you're a little too timid, she told me. So she would spell it out. But you know what? We as a team were struggling that summer. We would preach to the young people. We were mostly working with young people, and they would close their hearts up. They were just hard. And so we as a team are complaining about the hardness of heart of the people we're dealing with. Meanwhile, Dottie was over in the corner leading someone to Christ. And again, next day, leading someone to Christ. Oh, over there, she's talking to somebody, leading somebody to Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit and had turned her sorrow. You see, Dottie had lost her husband. And she turned her sorrow into seeking. And as she did that, she found herself in the middle of what God was doing again and again. And us young people are standing around, what's God doing? We don't see God doing anything. Well, there she was, leading another. Oh, we come back to our prayer time after and debriefing time. Oh, yeah, this girl opened her heart to Christ. And that do you see that other person kind of on the fringe that I was talking? Yeah, they became a Christian. You want to be in with what God's doing? There's the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then there's turning our sorrows into seeking. Some of you, I have a sense today that maybe some of you have got sorrows that they just take over your mind. It might be sorrow about where your marriage is at. It might be sorrow about things, how things have gone in your business. It might be sorrow about how things are going in a relationship with your child. I just want to encourage you. Turn your sorrows into seeking and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. The Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you want to be in what God is doing, be one of those people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these old saints in this story show us how to get in on what you're doing. And Lord, we often wonder where you're at work. Sometimes we wonder if you are at work. Sometimes we wonder why do you work through other people or show them what's going on, but we don't see it. Well, these are a couple keys here, Lord, so put them on our mind. I pray for every person here that they would have a sensitivity to your leading. We know you're at work in Fairview and around. Give them a sensitivity to your spirit. And for those who are grieving loss, grant them the grace and a resolve, even in this moment, to turn that sorrow into seeking you through prayer, maybe even fasting, for your grace and work. So bless these people, I pray. Amen.